Daniel chapter 6, the 16th verse, is the launching pad. And it says to us, "The king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." Another translation says that the king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." Different word there, isn't it? You think Daniel needed rescuing, deliverance? I want us to focus our attention upon the courage of Daniel. Suppose that we would all agree that Daniel was one of the most courageous men of the entire Bible. And while we look at Daniel and we look at his courage, we can't help but notice also his faithfulness. That is a major part of the life of Daniel. The king recognized that a major part of Daniel's life was faithfulness. When he said, "The God whom you serve continually," I think that King Darius says that two different times as he's going into the lion's den and as he's coming back out. He knew that there was something key here in the life of Daniel. Now, we probably think most of the time about Daniel and his courage, that courage is exemplified in Daniel's life when he is in the lion's den. Most of us probably figure it that way. The lion's den itself, I don't know what that lion's den was like. It's kind of a figure perhaps to us as to what it was really like. If you think about a coyote den or a bobcat den, I don't know what a lion's den was like in relationship to those. It wouldn't be very pleasant at any rate, whatever it was. But it's a little bit curious, isn't it, as you read this passage. Verse number 16 tells us that they were throwing him into the lion's den. Verse 17 is telling us that they sealed off the den. Verse number 18 is telling us that the king had a horrible night. He didn't eat. He didn't have music to entertain him. He didn't sleep. Verse 19, he's rushing back out very early in the morning to see what's taken place. Verse 20, he comes there with a lamentable voice. Now, it's interesting, some of the different translations of what that word lamentable might be. He was in anguish. He was sorrowful. He was saddened. He was full of anxiety. Anxiety enough to keep him up all night and not want to eat and not want any music for entertainment. He had a horrible night. He was full of anxiety. And he calls out to Daniel. Daniel responds to him in verse 21 as well as verse 22. It's quite the story there. But isn't it kind of curious that we don't really have any description whatsoever of Daniel's experience in the den? The only thing that we get out of Daniel's experience in the den is when Daniel at the end, when it's all taking place and unfolding, everything's over, he's now being brought out, that's when we find out that the angel of the Lord came and shut the mouths of the lions. We don't have anything else to go on. We don't have anything else to understand his experience. And yet, while we have nothing to understand his experience, we probably point to the lion's den as the key element or the key moment when Daniel is giving or expressing, portraying that great deal of courage that we think about in Daniel's life. Somebody said that there's 153 verses on Daniel's life prior to the lion's den. And then aside from what he tells the king, that God had shut the mouths of the lions, there's zero verses pointing to his experience while in that den. Could it be that the reason for that is that Daniel's courage or Daniel's faith is not the point in the story of the den of lions? When in reality, the point of the story of the shutting of the mouths of the lions really wasn't Daniel, but it was God. It was God that shut the mouths of the lions. It wasn't Daniel. The point of the story, the miracle of that story, when we think about the lion part of it, was that God shut the lion's mouths. What was Daniel really going to do once he was in that den? Your imagination is as good as mine, or as bad as mine, either way you want to look at it. What was he doing? What was he going to do? They threw him in. You know, what does that mean? Did he fall down over a cliff, a cave? Did he hurt himself, get bruised falling in? I don't know what all was going on. We learn later on here in this passage, that when they threw others in, the lions tore them to pieces before they ever hit the floor of the den. So somewhere along the line, there's a drop-off, and Daniel was thrown into it. And what was he doing? What was he planning to do? What was the circumstances? What did his experience consist of? We don't have anything to go on. It's not Daniel's courage and faithfulness in the den that's important. The thing that needs to come out of the story is Daniel's courage and faithfulness that got him thrown into the den. That's the point of the story. The real miracle here, and I'm not taking away from the miracle of the lion's mouths being shut. Apparently they were hungry. Apparently they were ravenous beasts. And I'm not taking away from the miracle of that portion of it, but apparently the great miracle of the story is that the people that were trying to get Daniel could find no fault in him. See, a lot of times we take Daniel and we place him up on a pedestal, saying that he is way up here above everybody else. But in reality, as it is in the Old Testament prophet Elijah, he is a man of like passion as we are. Daniel is flesh and blood. Daniel was a person. He was humanity. And yet, he was such, his life was such, his courage was such, his faithfulness was such that people could not find any fault in him except in the area of his faith in God or his prayer life. That's a powerful statement. The enemies couldn't find anything to accuse him of. There wasn't anything that they could point to except his praying. That shows real courage. That shows real faith. It was that courage and that faith that became the setup for God's display of faithfulness. Sometimes I think that when we are approaching the things around us, the influences around us, sometimes in my personality, it's more in your face. You know, don't do that. Don't press me into the mold. Don't push me around like that. But Daniel's point was not at all in your face. His point was simply to continue to do what he had always done. Always be faithful. Always doing what he had always done. Showing that God could display his faithfulness to the one who is faithful. Have you ever stopped and thought about Daniel's experience and wanted wanted to have a Daniel experience? Maybe not the danger involved. No, you didn't want the danger involved with the den, but you wanted to have a Daniel in the lion's den experience as such, so that you could see God move in a powerful way in your life. Oh, I want God to come through in a big way. Decisively display His deliverance or display His power. Show people that God, our God, is still the God of deliverance, the God to accomplish the impossible. You ever had a desire for that kind of a display? God, come and show yourself real. Show yourself to the people around that you are the God of the impossible. Just as the Old Testament story of Balaam, who said, "Let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his." The understanding, the reality there is that in order to die the death of the righteous, they have to live the life of the righteous. And so it is in the case of Daniel's experience. In order for us to see God come through in a powerful way, we have to live in such a way to be faithful in the midst of life. Whether it's a simple daily things of life or the complexities of life. Far too many people will never have the opportunity to prove God's faithfulness in the den because they haven't proven His faithfulness in everyday life. We're not going to see God come through in a huge way financially for us if we have a difficulty and a struggle within us to trust Him with the tenth. We're not going to see God come through for us in a powerful way in our finances if we have struggles or difficulties being a good steward of the 90%. You see, it all falls together. We want God to do big things for us in the end or in the display, the need of His power, of His presence. But it's in the everyday grind that comes short in the display of faithfulness on our side. Some people want God to give them an increase or a favorable increase in their workplace, when in reality they segregate God from their workplace or the school place. Whatever the circumstance is, where we separate ourselves and we believe that this is completely separate from the world of our spiritual living, when God wants us to be that spiritual person in all aspects of our lives, to be faithful to Him in everything that we do. It's hard for us to be like Daniel in the lion's den when we don't live like Daniel prior to that den. What are some things that are recorded in this book about Daniel that give us the understanding that he was a man of courage, that he was a man of faithfulness, and from that we see he was a man of integrity? First of all, I suppose that the biggest point, the basis of his life, the thing that is projected from him or through his life in the rest of the book of Daniel is found in the 8th verse of the 1st chapter. One of the early statements here of Daniel gives us the foundation or the platform upon which Daniel's life is expressed when it says in that 8th verse, "But Daniel purposed in his heart not to be defiled. He would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." We can take that verse and preach a lot of sermons from it. A lot of powerful sermons can come out of that verse. He purposed in his heart, he decided when he was just a youngster, when he was a teenager, that he was not going to go the way of the mold. They were pressing him in. He said, I purpose in my heart that I'm not going that way. You know the story. If you've read it recently at all, it's fresh in your mind, or perhaps it's so real that you've, because you've learned it and heard it so many times in your life, you know that the circumstance here was that of food and hydration, nourishment and hydration. It had to do with the important areas of life, things that we cannot do without. But there were some sidelines to this nourishment and hydration that was necessary in the life of Daniel that he said, it's not necessary in my spiritual life, or not necessary for my spiritual life. And so he said, I will not defile myself. I purpose not to defile myself. And his choice, I've talked about it before. You've heard it so many times. You've thought about it. His choice was not something that I look at as being pleasant. Pulse and water. Now, it wasn't just for 10 days of time. It wasn't just, you say, well, wait a minute, he was to do this for 10 days as a trial period. Yes, it was a 10-day trial period to see if he was going to be allowed to continue it for 3 years. I'm talking about faithfulness and courage. I kind of like my tea. I don't want to drink water for 3 years. Sorry about that if you like your water for 3 years. That's fine. Enjoy it. I like my water flavored with some tea leaves. And pulse. And pulse. You know, what is pulse? It's not venison. It's not that good pork that was just put in the freezer recently. That bacon and ham. No, it's not that. I kind of like those kinds of food. Preachers are known to like chicken. Brother Black, is that the way it is with you? You just love fried chicken? Yeah, I can eat fried chicken, but I just, yep, give me my venison. Fried venison, that'd be fine. Grilled venison, whatever, just venison, not pulse. And it wasn't just a 10-day trial period. It was a 10-day trial period to see if he would be allowed to do it for 3 years. He knew when he was proclaiming this proposal that it was going to be, or he was asking for it to be, for 3 years. Courage to stand against what was being thrown at him with the possibility of it being rejected, and he then either defiling himself or losing his life. What's our choice when it comes down to it? What's our choice when it comes right down to it? Do we say, no, I will not defile myself in face of strong adversity or in face of the loss of life? We're hearing about people that are suffering that. We thought that it was just days gone by and we read about it in books, but now we're hearing it all over again, fresh, new. Regularly we're hearing about it. People who are thrown in prison because of their faith in Christ. More and more we're hearing about it. Various countries, the number of countries are adding up. What about for you and me? Defile myself or serve God to be faithful to Him or lose my life? Verse 12 of chapter 1 is where he tells us that it's a 10-day proposal, but giving him the 3-year opportunity. He knows that it's long term. Let's go to the next chapter and see what else there is for Daniel. Chapter 2, verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. If you know the context of that story, of that portion of the story, the king had a dream. He had some things that were going on, and the wise men that he had called in were not able to give to him what he had dreamed and the interpretation. They had stalled. If you look at that in verse number 8 of chapter 2, you'll see that the king is accusing these guys of stalling for time. And it made the king even more furious. Daniel, though, in verse number 16, he is asking for an additional stall of time. You say, well, wait a minute, that's not what he's doing. Well, yeah, he is. He's asking for the king to allow this death sentence to be held off for just a few hours. Wait till tomorrow. Allow me to spend some time with God and to see if we can come up with an answer here. He's stalling for time. The king had already accused him of that. He was furious by it. It was a dangerous thing for Daniel to go in and request some additional time. But Daniel was courageous. He was faithful. Verse number 20. After all of this is over, he was granted that reprieve. He was granted that additional time. And he prays, and his three friends pray with him. They are asking that God would give to Daniel the answer that was needed. And God gave to him the answers. But before Daniel ever made a move, in verse number 20, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we declare of Thee, or what we desired of Thee. For Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." What is that all about? It's showing the faithfulness of Daniel to give praise to God for the answer even before he went to save his own life. He could have waited, couldn't he? Yeah, he could have waited. No, I don't think that he stood up in church here and did it either. He just simply sat back or stood back or knelt back, whatever the case was of his position. But before he ever did anything else to save his life, he gave praise and thanks to God for the answer that came. He could have been in a rush to get going to take care of the business matter at hand, but he did not. He first of all, praise God and thank God for the answer. Faithful to God in thanksgiving. We find him going to the king, and in verse number 30, there's another portion of Daniel's life that is revealed to us, that show us his courage and his faithfulness. Verse 30, "But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living." Wait a minute, Daniel. Why didn't God reveal it to Shadrach? Why didn't he reveal it to Meshach? Daniel's saying, "He didn't reveal this secret to me for any wisdom that I have more than any other." What do we find there? We find Daniel humbling himself. God has given this, but it's not because of me being above anybody else. He was showing his humility. It's a powerful testament to the platform upon which Daniel's life was being lived. Verse number 27 of chapter 4. "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." Without taking the time to read that whole chapter, you can notice that things are taking place there to tell us that the king that he was talking to was pretty high and mighty. He was pretty full of himself. He was powerful, and he knew he was powerful. He was pretty high up the totem pole. Daniel just point blank tells him, "King, this is what your dream was about. This is what's taking place. This is what's happening. But if you don't straighten up, it's really going to take place." The bottom line, King, is that you need to repent of your sins. You need to turn away from your sin. You need to change your life. And that could possibly be a change in what you're seeing take place and an extension of your tranquility. Daniel was courageous there. So many people, and some of you are probably thinking it as well, that some of us that stand up here have courage, and when we don't get nervous and we don't have the butterflies anymore, and that yada, yada, yada about all of that front upfront stuff. But I can assure you that coming from my vantage point, what Daniel did here took a lot of courage. Coming from my vantage point, I think of Daniel as courageous in this little scene. Because he was confronting a monarch. He was confronting a king. He was confronting somebody who could take just the word of his mouth and Daniel's life could be taken away. But Daniel, in his faithfulness to God, was courageous to tell the truth to the king. Chapter 5, verse 12. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences, dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called and he will show the interpretation. Is that an interesting verse? Who's telling that? Who's speaking those words? Do you have your Bible turned to chapter 5, verse 12? Who's speaking those words about the life of Daniel? It's the queen. You say, what's the significance here? The reputation of Daniel had reached the queen. It's very possible that the queen and Daniel had never had a personal contact. They had never had a visit. They had never met. Possible. I'm not saying that's exactly what happened, but the reputation of Daniel had taken itself all the way to the queen, and the queen was even in the midst of that reminding the king that his reputation has not just been in recent days, but it's been continuing through his time in the land of Babylon. You need to get a hold of this guy by the name of Daniel. He's the one that you need to be talking to. The reputation was that Daniel knew how to deal with these issues. Once again, then in verse number 17 of the same chapter, we find his humility. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation." Somebody said that everybody has their price. Everybody can be bought off at some point. If there's enough money available, everyone has their price. I don't know what kind of a price was involved here, but it's apparent that it would have been pretty high and ended up being pretty high. But Daniel said, no, give your gifts to somebody else. Give your rewards to someone else. Here's what you're looking for. This is the answer to your dilemma. His humility was prevalent once again. Chapter 6, verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." That's a powerful statement of the courage of Daniel's life, the platform upon which he lived of courage and faithfulness. No one could find any fault in him except concerning the law of his God. And so if they had to come up with a law that was opposed to the law of his God in order to get him. Isn't that something? you and I have a difficulty being consistent. Because we see things in such a way that we find ourselves focusing on this and not focusing on this. But somebody else looks at our life and say, well, you're so strong here, but you're weak over here. And they see the inconsistencies in our world or in our life. Apparently, Daniel was of such focus upon God that there weren't consistencies. The consistencies of normal people was not real in Daniel's life and in Daniel's world. That speaks to me. I don't know if it speaks to you this evening, but it speaks to me. Except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Possible persecution was standing in his way, facing him face to face, eyeball to eyeball, persecution to the point of death. And Daniel continued to do what he had always done. What was it that he had always done? He had always been faithful. He had always been courageous for God. You see, what God needs out of us is for us to show that same courage and same faithfulness, so that he can develop a platform in our lives to show his faithfulness from. Build a platform in our lives so that his display of faithfulness and power can be visible from that platform. And if we allow him to develop that platform in our lives, then God will be able to do his thing in our den of lions. Let's stand together tonight. The songwriter said, he's faithful to the faithful. How true that is. Praise the Lord. Trust you have a good week this week. For those that aren't going to IHC, would you pray for the convention? Pray for those of us that will be there, that we will receive what God would have for us. The power of the Holy Spirit be real in the midst. Certainly desire his presence and help at the convention. Keep in mind Wednesday service is still going on here, regular time. Amen. Edward, would you dismiss us in prayer?